Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, let's go. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. It celebrates industry heroes like you, the women of men of industry, the women of men of manufacturing. You are bold. You are brave. You dare greatly. You innovate. Boy, do you innovate. And you're changing lives. And as such, you're changing the world. All right, let's get it cracking. In the hot seat, we got a gentleman by the name of Michael Cook. Now you're saying, okay, Scott, how do I connect with Michael Cook? Because there's probably a gazillion of them out there. He's with Rockwell Automation. He is also a founding member, him and his company, not just him, him and his company, a founding member of the Connected Systems Institute, that wonderful organization that is dedicated to training future workforce. Check that out. All right, let's get cracking. Again, no time to waste. I'm telling you, man, this interview, Michael brings the lumber. He brings the real thing that's taking place out there in industry, the passion behind, one, of course, education, two, because they are all about, when I say they, it's Rockwell, all about collaboration and doing their part to be as innovative as they possibly can because they're committed to changing lives and changing the world. So they are, connected with, the Connected Systems Institute, and that's brought to you by, of course, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. And I'm just telling you, man, they are doing incredible things at CSI. They consolidated the name, CSI, put it in your folder. Make sure that you remember that because they're doing great things over there. So they're just building an incredible program, and part of that, just one of many, the ability to be able to bring in companies like Rockwell, individuals like Michael Cook. We've got a great conversation ahead of you. And it's very exciting for me just because I'm all about that education, collaboration, and innovation. And that's what they do at CSI. That's what Michael Cook, Rockwell Automation does all the time. They are committed to your success. Put that down on a book or in your notes. Reach out to Michael Cook, and you're saying to yourself, Scott, how do I find him? Michael Cook, got the name, put a little comma in there, slap in Rockwell, and you got the gent right there. All right, enjoy this particular interview, because I certainly did. Michael, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. Absolute honor that you have joined this particular platform and sing the celebrations of education through that incredible company called Rockwell. There, that's it. I'm spent. Michael, right there with that intro with you.
Oh, Scott, I think you've got more to come than that.
I do.
Thanks for hosting us. We really look forward to chatting to you.
Listeners, this topic is just right to my heart. I love it. I love what we're going to be discussing. But before we get into that conversation, Michael, for the listeners out there, give us a little 411 or background into who you are because your stat card's badass.
So we're based out of Milwaukee. That's our headquarters. I'm based out of Milwaukee, and I'm fortunate enough to lead our global academic organization, which puts me in a great role to be working with educators, with universities, with technical colleges and schools. And our mission and our passion is really to engage students and incumbent workers in understanding, you know, we do really cool things in industry. We need to expose that to them. And we need to be accessible and open up some possibilities for them.
So are you saying it's beyond ditch digging now? It is very sophisticated industry. I mean, it's pretty damn cool.
We're a very cool industry. We've transformed. Yeah. Digital transformation for real is going on. We're transforming ourselves into a software and solutions and services company. I think business models are changing for most companies. The Rockwell's going through some really interesting changes and acquisitions, and we have a lot of exciting partners that we work with, like Microsoft and PTC and Cisco and Fortinet and others, Enrich and Haza, Fanuc and Robotics. So together, we're working really well around this digital transformation space.
So what's interesting from my perspective and what I've been pushing out, and I don't have the answer. All I know is that sort of from a macro perspective, I'm looking at collaborating with people, me, and I've been pushing that. You've got to collaborate with people. You've got to come up with innovative solutions, both technically and human-wise, but it's got to be disruptive and innovative, especially in this new world. But the big sort of foundational thing, that's all great, wonderful stuff, is this need to educate. And because you're in the trenches of this whole digital transformation, it's speed. It is happening now. And tell us, I mean, why is education so important today? And it just seems like everybody's sort of going, yeah, it is. Tell us a little bit about that.
Education is the underlying economic driver of change, innovation, yeah, research. It's the best institution we have for creation and transfer of skills. And we have to take them on our digital transformation journey with us. You know, I think they're a key partner in, or should be in any company's ecosystem of how they do business, not just for getting the skills that they want, but also for driving industry. If we need to look at adoption of technology, where are those skill sets? You know, how do we transform, yeah, advanced manufacturing across the U.S. or across the globe? You know, how do we raise everybody's boats? How do we address, you know, smart, sustainable manufacturing across, you know, regions? The best way to do that is to partner with education.
And I see what you're saying. I really do. And I think, from my perspective, as I sort of reflect upon the pandemic, I think pre-pandemic, we were somewhat lazy when it came to having that conversation. There were other distractions, other conversations, other things like, you know, whatever. The pandemic hits, and then people, manufacturing, industry, and whatever, realize the necessity that is needed in innovation, needed to collaborate, and needed in education. If you're really going to try to, you know, survive, rebuild, and prosper, you need this. You need to educate, and Rockwell, your team, have seen the necessity to do that.
Knowing how to partner well with education is a critical enabler. It's a success enabler for education. It's a success enabler for industry and as well for economy. And I think it's that kind of convergence that is just, it's just the possibilities are really significant, but you've got to know how to do it well, and you've, yeah, got to be really, really, really serious.
Yeah, well, you got that commando unit that exists in Rockwell. I think I've counted up to about 25,000 people that are into it. I'm lying. It's not about 25,000. It's maybe about 22,000. No, but anyway,
it's pretty close. Pretty close. And you know, a company is so passionate about, yeah, skills and people, awesome, and it's not just about the technology. It's really about the talent that's gonna implement that technology in a sustainable way, that's gonna, you know, extract, you know, significant business outcomes, that's gonna drive change and impact. That's a key part of this.
And I love it. I love that vision. I love that purpose. I love that desire to do that, because, well, one of the conversations I've always had, and you know, it's not a slam on the traditional education, but the world is in a different place right now. And this stuff that we're talking about, digital transformation, 5G, edge, cloud, AI, everything that, and everything, digital twin and everything in between, it's happening. How does Rockwell facilitate universities to say, we get it. We're missing the train here. We get it. Let's get going.
So interesting enough, those universities are close to our end users and our customers, and they're the ones asking for those skills. So we have a network of partners, universities, technical colleges, and schools, because we think about this K to gray. That we
say
have
that again.
To,
what was that? You talk
K, about K to gray.
Wow.
So it's not just the universities; it's the technical colleges that are perhaps one of the quickest ways to transfer those new skills into industry. It's the schools that are working with the technical colleges, or the students that are, you know, anticipating going to, you know, going to a four-year degree. It's all of that. It's the entire ecosystem. So what we've done historically over the years is we've tried to partner with universities and technical colleges that could really move the needle for us, but we can't do it for everyone. And so what we've tried to do is to have higher touch universities where we tend to do, you know, deeper, broader activity and more significant partnering. And those that we want to make, we want to make automation accessible to them to integrate into their programs, right? So it's really about the story of accessibility and being able to allow participation at scale and at quality without compromising any of our industry standards.
See, and what I like about what you're doing there, Michael, at Rockwell and at your team, is that first off, you see the necessity for this commitment to education. Boom. Good. But you also see the necessity to get involved and be in the game and learn and make your mistakes, pivot, do what you need to do, improve, but you're in the game. And that is what's important. You listeners out there, you got to be in the game. You got to figure this out. You can't be passive. You can't just sort of sit there and not realize that this massive train has left the station. And that's what's great about what Rockwell is doing. It's just, you're in the game and you're learning.
So maybe I can tell you a secret. So we were established.
Well, tell me a secret, baby.
We were established as the Allen Bradley Company in 1903. At the same year, Harley Davidson was established, and so was Milwaukee School of Engineering. So you ask yourself, why was that? And that was because there was a lot of European settlers and technical talent that came here to the Midwest.
It's true.
Milwaukee School of Engineering was actually established to really support the growth of those technical industries and those engineering companies. And so Rockwell's had a relationship with educational institutions probably dating right back to 1903. But a lot of our ability and willingness to partner with universities has actually been a great success enabler for us to get access to really good talent, but at the same time as industry to have a dialogue with those universities so that we can find the middle ground and move quicker, collaborate well, have strong relationships that matter, that are trusted, and enable us to do things that maybe other companies haven't been so fortunate to be able to accomplish.
Well, you got that level of commitment. Unfortunately, human behavior is, I'm going down this road, I got a little resistance, because there is some resistance, and then either you just sort of hang it up and you go, you know, go do something else, or you have to continue to push through, because it's that purpose of education that's going to drive you to success and to help and to learn and to deal with the human component, which is the tech is a tech. There's a human component that you can just sit there and, okay, I'll work through it and work through it. And then you get the keys. You understand what's going on.
You get the keys. So the human component, the behavioral aspect, becomes even more important, because now we're talking about automation, augmented technologies. We're talking about interdisciplinary things. So me, if I'm an electrical engineer, I've got to work with mechanical. I've got to work with a process engineer or someone that has application knowledge that's outside my domain. Maybe I've got to be working with the IT organization because I'm not connecting up my factory floor. So if you want to call it something, I would say the digital anthropology and behavioral elements of humans interacting with each other in technology is significant, and it's becoming more and more significant. That's the cool thing as we talk about digital disruption, right? Is how do we make this all work together? Because if you're investing in automation and augmentation technologies, you're really shifting skill sets, but you're also bringing to bear an emphasis on ones that were perhaps not so important in the past. These are really important things.
You know, you're obliterating those comfortable silos. You have to have that communication across all parts of your business, up at the top, down to the individuals working on the floor and everything in between, or it will be suboptimal, for lack of a better term. Now, I'm going to shift gears a little bit. Rockwell, you and others in your team are very involved with the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, and their CSI, Connected Services, our Solutions Institute. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's really cool. So over the years, we've done more and more sophisticated things and become closer to working with UWM. We probably have several hundred employees in our Milwaukee facility that are from there. We've had an endowed supply chain professor. We've done hands-on automation learning. We've done international student exchanges. We work closely with a lot of their faculty and engineering. This whole idea of connected systems and advanced manufacturing is really at the core of this digital transformation. And so I think it was 2017, we'd been talking to UWM and said, you know, we really need to do something differently. We really need to evaluate the direction of where education is going. And we just don't feel all that comfortable doing something that really will get lost. We want to do something that's going to integrate some of the business disciplines with engineering, with computer science. That's the direction we're going as industry. How do we do this? So they did a lot of benchmarking. It was actually really interesting. They traveled to a lot of institutes around the world, including in Fraunhofer. They visited some innovation centers, I think Microsoft Innovation Center in Asia and a variety of places. But when they came back, they really proposed alongside Rockwell this vision for a connected systems institute that would drive, you know, it would drive transformation and modernization of curriculum and engineering. It would drive an integration of learning between the different faculty. We could do applied research work with industry, so we could bring other industry partners in. And at the heart of that was, what could we do differently that was going to truly be valuable and sustainable? And looking at other institutes, typically there's an imbalance between how industry and academia works together that's very biased towards, you know, academia being given too much independence in the relationship. And I think what the Institute has done really, really well is create a superb balance between industry and academia. And at the heart of that is really the question we're trying to answer is, how can we move quicker? How can we be more agile with these integrated skill sets? How can we be transformative around education, learning, and industry, all working together to reap the benefits of an institute like the Connected Systems Institute? And so the title Connected Systems has a lot to do with reflecting this IT-OT conversion. As you take operational technology and you're connecting it up to the IT, what are you doing? You're connecting up systems, and with that you're really looking at the whole spectrum of talent from manufacturing right up to computer science and business. You're connecting those disciplines too, and you're really enabling possibilities around a connected enterprise that has full convergence around OT and IT systems and the people and the cultural elements. And that's really the design of the Connected Systems Institute, then working with industry, you know, something in the order of 150 subject matter experts to design something that's exciting, that's functional and utilitarian for research, as well as for students, for professors, for industry. Also, the facility itself was designed in mind that faculty would come out of their, I hate to use the word, but their silos. They would come to the institute, they would interact with each other on interdisciplinary projects, and something innovative and exciting that's valuable to industry can then happen. And so the whole framework, the whole premise of the Connected Systems Institute is about enabling transformation and change, digital transformation, and then being able to share that. So you can come in and visibly see an end-to-end system. You can't see that at almost any other institution in the same manner anywhere across the globe. So it's a one-of-one project globally.
It has mad capabilities. What I do like about, and once again, we talk about that purpose, we talk about that heart. You've got an institution such as CSI and companies like Rockwell and others. You are in this effort truly changing lives. You're changing business. You're changing communities. And it's all for the better. It's like there's no negative from this thing. It's not like I learned way too much. I think I screwed things up. No, it's not the case. It's all positive. And you know what's interesting too about that? We've got the students. We've got the individuals like, yeah, I'm soaking it up. I'm getting it. It's all great. It's all wonderful. And that's fun stuff. But then there's that business side that's saying, why? Why is this important for me?
Yeah.
Can you make it consumable chunks so that I can understand? And that's where CSI shines. And you see it with all of the companies that are involved. They recognize that it's got to be across the board and that communication has to happen.
It's totally across the board. It's a significant collaborative effort that I haven't seen at this level of this level of strength of collaboration anyway. So the way in which Microsoft and PTC and FANUC and Enrisenhauser and system integrators and even, you know, Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation is invested in this because they're looking at small and medium manufacturers and saying, well, hey, can't they take advantage of this? What can they learn? How can we look at their digital maturity and say, well, this is what you need to do next and you can hire students here. That's the one aspect that I think is so exciting for us. The other is they're actually partnered up with Gateway Tech and some of the other technical colleges across Wisconsin. You know, they've opened the door for collaboration with some other universities in the Wisconsin educational network. You know, they're really starting to, you know, alongside others, you know, lift everybody's boats in the sense that we now have a collaborative framework for disruption, for sharing, for learning from each other. And so that's really exciting. And then also injects the personalities and culture of Microsoft and other software companies like PTC and Ansys into the Institute. So students are getting the most incredible exposure when you think about it in one location. It's really exciting.
I you know, it makes my... This is sad. However, it does make my skin tingle because this is exciting stuff. This is truly, when you talk about, you know, okay, you're Rockwell, you're Microsoft, you know, you're the big fish in the ocean in that sense, but you're able to take that whole model and bring it down to somebody that my size. And I have a manufacturer. It's a small manufacturer, but I want to benefit from it. I can have that conversation. I can see where I'm at on my digital maturity model, whatever that is, and then be able to say, that makes sense for me, and let's go down that road. And it is, and I love it because a lot of people don't even know where they're at. Well, what's my first step? Like, I'm doing this, but what's my first step? That is a beautiful thing.
Exactly right. And I think that the way in which we're looking, so I mentioned K to Gray, right? We do a little bit of K to Gray. Obviously, there's students and they're earning a four-year degree in whatever discipline they're doing. But there's also opportunity for incumbent workers. I think one of the things that CSI has looked at is what do we do for incumbent workers if they want to develop a digital manufacturing associate? Or
yes.
What do we do about cybersecurity workshops going forward? And so, you know, I think the beauty of this is that the leadership of UWM, Mark Monet, and the provost and his engineering team and his deans in particular, we didn't want to put this in just one faculty silo. And this is actually a premium location that's, I think, will be a lot more accessible than people have imagined, central to the campus of UW-Milwaukee. So even schools coming in, interaction with other universities, you know, I think is really possible. Whereas if you just put it in one location, you know, then I think you start to put a little bit of a conceptual firewall around that for access. So this is really an asset for all of Milwaukee, for all of manufacturers, for the interactions that UWM has globally with other institutes. And it's pretty unique. If you go out and have a look at the first test bed that's been put in there and the digital twin and the networks that are coming, these are truly sophisticated systems, but we can bring it down to your level wherever you're at. And I think that's the beauty of this is it's not so over-engineered and so, custom-built. You know, we've tried to take standard engineering practices and methodologies such that we can articulate that to pretty much anyone that's looking at their digital transformation.
See, and you just obliterated one of the, quote, arguments that exists with this whole digital transformation journey. I'm going to lose my job. No. you have the opportunity to sort of reinvent yourself, learn other skills and capabilities, because this is definitely this is going forward, and you have access to be able to reinvent yourself, gain some really cool skills and abilities, and it just opens up the world.
It opens up the world, and I think, you know, so education has turned on its head. Let me just be quite honest.
Yes.
And for those that haven't figured it out, they're in this transformational journey. So it's really about keeping education relevant and serving the purpose that it was designed to do, really, you know, socioeconomic impact. This enables part of that journey. But what we're seeing is, you know, universities are seriously looking at how they work with companies. And over the, you know, last 20, 30, 40 plus years working with UWM, I think that gave us confidence to actually do something quite so complex with the university. So, you know, there's a deep history here. There's a lot of learning that can take place. You know, we as a company with our partners are learning, because we can't do this alone as Rockwell. We are equally as reliant on Microsoft and PTC and FANUC and Anderson House and other companies to work alongside us with the same level of sincerity, with common objectives and outcomes to really drive change. But also the university has stepped up as well. You know, their faculty have got incredibly engaged, and they're starting to design connected systems programs and modernize their curriculum to keep in line with industry. And I think that's transformative. What's really happening there is the change of the pace of change of curriculum has been so far behind industry that the focus has really been on conceptual learning. Now we want to keep that conceptual learning, but we want to change the equation to include more industry relevant applied learning and innovation and applied research that then helps faculty to you know, step through this digital transformation journey. So it's industry, it's faculty, and it's bringing that together. That's what's so exciting about the CSI is, you know, it's a labor of love that is totally worth it.
It is. I mean, it's freaking dead sexy on this side of the old mic, man. I'm telling you, I love what you're saying. I love how it's being dealt with, and I love the fact that you've got the applied side. You've got the ability to reinvent yourself. You're doing heavy lifting stuff. It's hard to take an institution and say, this is the ship that's going down this and try to turn it around, because it's been that way for whatever, 100 years, 200 years, whatever it is. Now you're saying it's time. Let's be disruptive. Let's do it. And we got to do it with a sense of speed and tenacity and agility and all of that stuff.
All of that stuff. And, you know, just one thing, and maybe I should have cool said stuff. It, but Southeast Wisconsin and Indiana are the two highest concentrations of advanced manufacturing in the U.S. Companies build mining equipment for global consumption here, and all kinds, Harley Davidson, all kinds of things. Very, very significant companies from a technology perspective. But it also creates ties to the rest of the world. So the Connected Systems Institute isn't just a Milwaukee thing.
Yeah.
It has possibilities for others to participate in, and also to have really significant outreach and collaboration with other universities. The Shanghai Jia Tong University, for example, we exchange students back and forth between them and UW Milwaukee. We have professors coming from all over the world. I think our company is able to facilitate a lot of that good work. You know, I think that the CSI is not just regionally disruptive. It has some really interesting possibilities as it goes forward. Yeah, it's very exciting.
Michael, we're going to have to wrap this up. I'm depressed that I have to wrap it up, because I am all about the education. I love exactly what CSI, what Rockwell is doing. Are you active out there on LinkedIn?
I am active on LinkedIn, and I'd love to share some links about what's going on at the Connected Systems Institute.
So he's going to send me all those links. We're going to have it out on industrialtalk.com. There is no excuse why you can't get a hold of our friend here, Michael. No excuse. So don't come to me and say, I can't get a hold of Michael, because that's a lie. So don't do that. So he'll be out there. We're going to wrap it up on the other side. Michael, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. Absolutely, skin is tingling. I'm on fire now. Education. Thank you.
Scott, thanks so much. We know you're going to come visit us up here in Milwaukee. So.
All right, listeners.
Look forward to that.
Yeah, that's right. I am. Oh, hell yeah. All right, listeners. We're going to wrap it up on the other side. Do not go away. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, two words. Michael Cook. Rockwell Automation, too. And CSI. I mean, what can you say? Education? Boom. The future is bright. Two. Collaboration? Boom. They're doing it at CSI. They're doing it with Rockwell Automation. And three, boop, automation and innovation and the future. It's exciting. I am so glad that you had joined this particular podcast. Now, I want you to go out to CSI. Go to the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. Slap in CSI right there. You'll find them. You'll find that URL. Get engaged. Get involved. Figure it out. Get educated so that you can educate, collaborate, and innovate. All being done right there. All right. As always, I'm going to just continue to challenge you. Be bold, be brave, dare greatly. Hang out with people who are bold, brave, and daring greatly. Like Michael Cook. Like that team at CSI. You will not be disappointed. We're going to have another great interview right around the corner. So stay tuned.